You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Well, it's great to be here this morning. It's great to have that moment of celebration for Robin. It's just a joy to do that. And for those who are visiting, we're just starting a new series as we're looking through the Bible. It's called Look Again, where we're looking to rediscover some of the familiar stories of the Bible and looking to apply them to our lives and looking to do that in different ways. And so through this term, we're going to be looking at different stories that might be familiar, but we're just looking at them again and trying to rediscover some of their truth. And today's passage is from Luke 19. So if you've bought a Bible, then do turn up Luke 19. When we started Jubilee, you know, probably half the church used to bring Bibles to church, and it was such an encouragement. And then just, you know, years on, I think to myself, crumb, nobody brings a Bible to church anymore. It's a bit, you know, a bit sad. But actually, then I realized that everybody actually has their Bible in their pockets, on their phones. And so if we don't need to bring our old paper Bibles anymore. So if you've got an app, turn up your app. If you've got an old paper Bible, you can do it with me. Turn up Luke 19. I love this story. It is such a fun story. It's such a great story. It's short, but it is great fun. But it's not just fun. It's a story of transformation, of redemption, of the amazing grace of Jesus. And so I want us to actually read it together. I'm going to put it up on here. So let's read it together. Can you read it from the back there? I think so. Jesus entered Jericho. Isn't that just a fun story? I just love it. See, Jericho was a bustling town in the ancient Israel, and it was where this chap, Zacchaeus, lived. He was the chief collector who was notorious. He had a notorious reputation. He was short. That wasn't why he was notorious. He was short and wealthy. His wealth, though, had come at the expense of people from whom he had collected taxes. He couldn't help his shortness. That was genetic. But his stealing was something that he was doing. And in those days, tax collectors, even though they were Jews, took taxes for the invading and oppressive Roman empire, and were often seen as turncoats, traitors to their own countrymen. Rather than fighting the Roman oppressors, they were helping them by taking taxes. And what's more, it was common knowledge that they skimmed off more than they should have to enrich themselves. And that was at the expense of their fellow Jews. So they weren't liked. Unlike tax collectors today, in the ancient times, they weren't liked. He couldn't help his shortness, but he could help how he shortchanged people. You see what I did there? You came just for that, didn't you? Do you know what? I thought of that actually this morning in the shower. But anyway, you see, something though, there was something about Jesus that even Zacchaeus was curious about. Even the bad man, the notorious reputation that he had, something about Jesus was attractive to him. And Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is passing through the town, and he's desperate just to get a glimpse of this man who he'd heard had been changing lives and performing miracles. Perhaps he's heard of the story in the previous chapter. You might want to turn it up, where Jesus had talked about a Pharisee and a tax collector, where the tax collector is positioned as the good guy, and the self-righteous religious person who looked down on people was positioned as the bad guy. You can find it in chapter 18. I'll read it to you. It's here, look. For some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Do you reckon he'd heard that story and thought, do you know what, I wonder whether Jesus has got something to say for me. Jesus often told stories to reveal what was in people's hearts, because people's hearts can change. His shortness wasn't going to change, but his heart could change. Jesus can transform. Hearts can be redeemed by this wonderful gospel that Jesus preached. And you know what? This man was curious. Could he even help me? So he went to have a look, but there was a problem. The crowd was enormous. He couldn't see over their heads. He was short. I can imagine him scurrying around behind, trying to peek through the legs or trying to peek through the sides just to see this Jesus. You can imagine it, can't you? This short man, big crowd, Jesus. He just wants to see him. Can't see through the crowd. And you know, even now, there can be people who get in the way of us seeing Jesus. So in this act of determination, Zacchaeus climbs a sycamore tree to get a view of Jesus. That was his strategy. And then something surprising happens. Jesus approaches, and he does something unexpected. He stops beneath this tree and looks up. Zacchaeus, he says, come down quickly. I must stay at your house today. Wonder what went through his head at that point. Did I hoover? Did I leave the washing up out? Had I pumped the cushions? I don't think it was anything like that. He was probably just saying, what, who, me? And then looking behind him in the sycamore tree, hoping that somebody else had climbed up the tree as well. And it wasn't just him that Jesus was looking at. Perhaps he regretted getting up the tree. He thought, actually, that was a bad move. I should just be in the crowd, mingling in the crowd, just anonymous in the crowd. But Jesus, walking along, looks up and sees Zacchaeus and singles him out. And it's so interesting what Jesus says. He doesn't say, go to the temple and confess all your sins. He doesn't sort of wag his finger at him and tell him off or make him feel guilty or make him feel ashamed. He just says, I must come to your house today. Jesus wants to meet him, talk with him, befriend him. He wants to meet him in his home. He wants to engage in his everyday life, in his home. He's not interested in what he does in church or in the temple. He wants to go and be with him in his home. It's interesting, isn't it? How these stories can begin to, you look at them, you begin to see things again, afresh. See, Jesus, I think, is interested in homes because he's interested in people. He's really interested in people, and particularly in the state of their souls, what's going on inside them. He criticizes the self-righteous religious people of his time who looked down on people, who judged people, who made people feel ashamed, just like in that story we read. He wasn't interested in the masks people wear to make themselves look good. He was interested in what was going on inside in their hearts. And you know, Jesus still looks at our hearts. We can all do right things, but still have a rotten heart, can't we? Hearts with that inner secret superiority towards others. Could be other classes or other races or other educational attainments or other political persuasions. Even other generations. The older can feel superior to the younger. The younger can feel superior to the older, especially if they're teenagers. Perhaps that's why a few verses just before this passage, Jesus corrects the disciples for rebuking, because the disciples are rebuked parents who brought children to Jesus. It's our verse today. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. For the kingdom of God is actually belongs to such as these. I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." It's a profound statement. It takes real humility, not self-righteousness, to have an attitude like that, doesn't it? And it puts a spotlight on our hearts, what's going on in our hearts. As Zacchaeus and Jesus share this meal, something incredible happens. Zacchaeus experiences a profound inner transformation. He decides to give half of his possessions to the poor and repay those who he's cheated fourfold. It's a powerful part of the story. This act of repentance and generosity is evidence of a changed heart in this man. It's perhaps a natural response to finding amazing grace, isn't it? For us Christians, the idea of amazing grace is so pivotal, isn't it? Isn't it? It is. Grace, the Christian understanding of grace, means unmerited favor. It's the idea that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. He accepts us and loves us unconditionally. That's our message of grace, isn't it? If you've never heard it, this is a good day for you to hear. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less, nothing that you can do to make God love you more. He just loves you. He's for you. He celebrates you. He wants to be with you. He accepts us. But we find when he does that to Zacchaeus, something happens to Zacchaeus. He sells half of his possessions, but he sells them not to earn God's favor, not to make God love him more. He did these things in response to the grace he'd received. He was a sinner. He knew that. But Jesus welcomed him. And that did something in his heart, where he wanted to then change, do things differently. Motivation's a key thing. It's not that we have to do anything to accept God's love. It's that we want to. We want to do things because we know something of his love for us. See, Jesus accepts us as we are, but loves us so much, he wants us to transform into all that we can be. That's the good news. Just as we are, we come. With all of our foibles, all of our things that aren't going well, all of our bad attitude, he accepts us as we are. He loves us. But he loves us so much, he wants to help transform us into all we can be. It's one of the phrases at Jubilee we use all the time. Come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Jesus didn't come for perfect people. In fact, he had lots to say to those who thought themselves perfect. That's why at Jubilee we say no perfect people allowed. So if you're perfect here, you're not welcome. Go to other churches. I met with all the church leaders this week and said that's what we do. And like horror came on their faces. We don't want your perfect people. But I'm sure I'll be able to find you a church if you are perfect. But we're all work in progress, aren't we? If we're honest, we're all work in progress. We've all got areas that need to change: selfishness, greed, lust, hubris, low self-esteem, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is. We've got things that need to be transformed, changed. And it's such good news, this story, because it teaches us that Jesus is in the transformation business. If we welcome him into our homes. So what are just three little lessons that we can make from this story? Lessons from Zacchaeus. First one is, no one is beyond redemption. The story of Zacchaeus reminds us that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. Nobody here is beyond the reach of God's grace. No matter how far we've strayed, Jesus is eager to connect with us, to change us, to redeem us, to be with us, to eat with us. Nobody's beyond that. Second thing is, it teaches us about a radical transformation is possible. Change is possible. Zacchaeus' transformation was radical. It even started immediately. In haste, some of the translations say it. Immediately he came down the tree. We don't have to put it off. Don't have to wait. It can be for now. It can start now. Jesus is in the transformation business. Change is possible. No, deeply entrenched our sin is, our bad habits are, our wrong attitudes. No matter what we've done, whatever harm has been done to us, meeting Jesus can change us. That's what this passage teaches us. Third thing is that repentance so often leads to generosity. Zacchaeus' actions show us that repentance often is accompanied by a desire to make amends and to cultivate an attitude of generosity. We don't do those things to earn God's love, but they're just a response. One of our vision statements is we give ourselves in the service of others. One of our 5 G's as a church. Because it's an outworking of meeting with Jesus, the service of others. It's not just a change of heart that Jesus does, but a change of action too. Not because we have to, but because we find ourselves wanting to reflect the wonderful love and grace of God. And can I just say, you foster carers who are here, you give yourself in the service of others so well. And you know what? You're being more Christ-like than you realize. I'm looking around the room. More like Christ in your giving of yourself to others than you know. All children need a good, loving home. Thank you for your generosity, welcoming kids into your homes, all of you. In fact, in some ways, fostering adoption is like a metaphor, really, for the wonderful Christian gospel, where it talks about us all coming home to our Heavenly Father, all being adopted as sons and daughters of a Heavenly Father. It's a sort of picture, really, of the message, the Christian message. So often as I've journeyed with people as they come to faith, as they find faith, it's just a wonderful moment when somebody finds faith in Jesus. They'll often describe it in these ways. They'll say, it feels like I'm just coming home. I feel like I belong. I feel like I'm loved. I feel like I'm just coming home. That's often the description that people would describe when they're coming to faith. For Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's what the final word is. And when he finds, it is like a coming home. Sense of knowing you're loved, knowing you're known. It's a wonderful thing. So fostering adoption is like a little metaphor for something that we talk about in the gospel, the Christian gospel, that is coming home to our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. So let me just conclude with this. That this is a great little story, isn't it? It's a fun little story, but it can speak to us in profound ways. It reminds us, I think, of the incredible power of God's grace and the transformative impact of encountering Jesus. Not just 2,000 years ago, but even today. Just as Jesus sought out Zacchaeus, he seeks us out. In our brokenness, in our sin, our imperfections, he invites us into a relationship with him. He offers us forgiveness and redemption and the opportunity for radical transformation. That's what this story is all about, if we look again at it. In Jericho on that day, there was a big crowd out to see Jesus. Surrounded by all those people, Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. So often in the Bible, you see it. God calls people by name. I wonder whose name he's calling this morning. Maybe it's your name. There aren't any sycamore trees for us to look at to see if anybody's climbed up them. But even in the crowd, maybe Jesus is calling your name this morning. If he is, I just say, don't stay in the tree watching. Zacchaeus responded immediately. You know, he slowly climbed up the tree and he scampered down the tree. He immediately took Jesus into his home. Don't stay in your tree watching if Jesus is calling your name. Today could be your day to find transformation, redemption, and the amazing grace of Jesus. It's what the Alpha Course is all about. I just love the Alpha Course, apart from being addicted to it and being on my 25th round, about 25 I think it is. It's a joy to journey with people as they find Jesus. We had the intro last week. This Wednesday, we start for good. It's not too late to get involved if you want to. Just let us know so that we can cook for you. It's a lovely meal, our beautiful new building. It's just great fun. bit like Jesus saying, come to my house. So let us look again at this message, eh? Let's read it during the week. Let's think about it. Let's look again at this message as we reflect on our own lives. Are there areas that we need to experience the transforming power of God? Are there? Are there people like Zacchaeus in our community just waiting for us to reach out with the love and grace of Jesus? There are, you know. Many who feel on the outside, many who feel they've been rejected by others, many desperate. But they can be like Zacchaeus and find him saying, I must come to your home. So let's be inspired by this story, I think, all of us. Whether we've met Jesus or not met Jesus, thought about Jesus or not even thought about Jesus, let this passage speak to us this week. Let's open our hearts to his transforming presence. And let us then extend his grace to others. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to come to a table, a different sort of table. Zacchaeus and Jesus. You could come up, Christy, in the band if you want. Zacchaeus and Jesus had a meal together. And we, this morning, along with billions of other Christians around the world, come to a meal, a different sort of meal, different sort of table, where we remember each Sunday. It's called many different things in different churches, Holy Communion, the Eucharist, breaking of bread. It's done in many different ways. But whatever way it's done to remember Jesus. It's done to remember what Jesus has done for us. A few chapters later in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, it says this. After taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. That's what Jesus did when he sat around a table with his disciples. You read it at the end of Luke's Gospel. And then following this, Jesus was crucified and died. And then the third day rose from the dead. That's the story that we've become part of. He met with hundreds of disciples after rising from the dead to prove that he was alive. And then he rose to heaven, the Bible says. But before doing that, he promised something to all of us. Before he went, he promised to never leave us alone, but to come by his Holy Spirit to be alongside us, to be our comforter, our guide, our cheerleader, our advocate, just as we said that Adrian and Paula were for Robin. And he is alive today to do that as we come to this communion table.